Hi, I'm Michael Apple for biznews.com. I'm joined by the national spokesperson for the Democratic Alliance, Salias Brink. Salias, thanks for your time. Busy day. You were at the police station. What were you doing?
So we went to lodge a criminal charge against the ANC as an organization in terms of the Prevention of Organized Crime Act. And the reason for that is we believe that the conduct of the ANC has clearly conformed to that of a criminal enterprise as it is defined in the Act. And that is an organization that continuously participates in criminal activities or unlawful acts. Now, we had already in 2019 written to the head of the prosecuting authority asking for just such an investigation to be launched. There was no official response, but the indication was, let's wait for the findings of the Zondo Commission and then we'll proceed on that basis. Well, now we've got the Zondo Commission in, the report is in, its findings confirm our view that there is certainly space to lodge and investigate such a charge against the ANC. And we went to get a case number so that we can follow up and ensure that there is accountability in this regard.
I've seen some commentators saying that the shotgun approach, going after the ANC as an organization, it's too wide. How do you respond to those who believe focused prosecutions are the way to go about this? Because somebody at Luthuli House would have signed off on using Bosasa. Nomvula Mokonyane was head of elections at the time. You know, so you mentioned Bosasa. It was investigated since 2009, and the ANC went and took its money, essentially, while it was the benefactor of large government contracts. What do you make of the comments that rather go focus? Why go so wide?
Well, you know, whether you use a shotgun or a sniper shot approach to prosecutions, bloody well just do something. We don't agree with the view that the prosecuting authority had to wait for every aspect of the Zondo Commission to be finalized. We believe that there was sufficient evidence to proceed already with prosecutions. And if the approach of the prosecuting authority is to target individuals, well, then that is its approach and it should make that determination. But it's very important for us to put on record that it wasn't just a few individuals that acted on their own. This was an organized network of criminality. Now, you mentioned Nomvula Mokonyane. You forget the big fish. He's the national chairperson of the ANC, Gwede Mantashe, who is at the very center of this Bosasa connection. And it's not only him, it's Cedric Frolic and Zwane and all of these characters. And I think at some point, it's important for the prosecuting authority to ask, what do they all have in common? Well, I mean, they all acted as political actors within the mandate of the ANC. And maybe there's something to be gained. There's some prosecutorial advantage to be gained from taking that approach. You know, cast your net out widely. Some of these things we know will end up with plea agreements, quite possibly, if anything is in fact done. And so if you cast the net as widely as possible, gain access to documentation, which you wouldn't have normally, it will be up to the prosecuting authority to follow a coherent strategy. But we believe it's important to place on record that this was a systemic matter. In addition to Bosasa, of course, there is the policy of cadre deployment, which the Zondo Commission has now clearly described as unconstitutional and unlawful. It's no surprise. There's been case law before in the Eastern Cape where I think it was Amatole that tried to appoint a municipal manager based on the instruction of a local ANC committee, and the High Court set aside that appointment, saying this sort of an interference in constitutional and legal processes by a political party is not within the framework of the law. So it's not a surprise, but it does help the DA in our own case against cadre deployment. And I think it also strengthens the case that the ANC must face. Because cadre deployment, if anything, it was a systematic attempt to subvert constitutional processes, and the ANC should have been aware of that.
Yeah, and who chaired the cadre deployment committee for so many
years? President Cyril Ramaphosa, then the deputy president.
I want to quote from the affidavit that you guys have put forward to the police, and it includes an extract from Part 6, Volume 2 of the State Capture Report. And, quote, the evidence shows that the ANC had accepted donations from companies that were heavily reliant on government contracts such as Basasa without investigating them. It was put to President Ramaphosa that the unlawful activities of Basasa had been the subject of media reports since at least 2009, and that it was difficult to accept that vigilant members of the ANC would not have been aware that Basasa was the recipient of large government contracts under dubious circumstances. So that's gone through to the police. But, I mean, one can understand there are only so many prosecutors. There are so many cases on their doorstep at the moment. The ID, I mean, the DA must see that there is some movement. Had the Guptas arrested in Dubai, they're currently behind bars. You've had Transnet-related arrests. You've had Vincent Smith, you know, Angelo Agretti. Some call him a whistleblower. Others don't believe that. But there has been some movement. Does the DA at least acknowledge that?
Certainly there has been some movement. And of course, we welcome the arrest of the Guptas. The remaining question is now, can they be extradited? Because if they can't be extradited, it's of no use. It's a symbolic gesture. So we hope they can be extradited. We hope they stand trial for their crimes and the harm that they've done to the South African people. And of course, we have to acknowledge the successes that have been achieved. But they are underwhelming in the face of widespread evidence of state capture and corruption. I think people expected more. They expected higher level prosecutions and arrests to have taken place at this point in time. Now, where do they start? I think Zondo makes the work of the prosecuting authority much easier because he identifies the individuals. Dudu Mnyeni, Nomvula Mokonyane, Cedric Frolic, Gwede Mantashe, Jacob Zuma, clearly indicating these people should be investigated further. So they can't claim that they're absolutely overwhelmed by just this massive, the magnitude of the cases. Zondo makes clear the first and the second and the third steps that need to be taken. And we hope that the prosecuting authority has enough courage to make the tough calls that need to be made and that they have the political backing, or at least the absence of political interference when they do start their work. And so it's very important for a party such as the DA to come out and put public pressure on law enforcement bodies. We don't do it behind closed doors. We say openly that we want action to be taken on the recommendations of the Zondo Commission. If we don't do that, if we just let it slide, then, you know, the prosecuting authority might succumb to the other kind of pressure, which is just to do nothing.
The president has said he wants until October to come back to Parliament to say what recommendations are going to be implemented, the so-called sort of plan of action going forward. Do you want to wait until October? What's the DA's approach to this?
I think it would be very dangerous to wait until October to do anything. And I certainly don't think that the prosecuting authority is under any requirement to wait until October. So there are legislative reforms that the Zondo Commission has proposed, and some of them quite wide-ranging that don't necessarily relate directly to state capture, and Parliament must do its work. For instance, you must establish an oversight committee for the president, consider Zondo's recommendations on a separate a ballot for the president and so forth. Those things are going to take time. But the arrests, the warrants to search and seize evidence that might be destroyed in the next few weeks or months must be executed now. The work of law enforcement it should have started a while ago. Hopefully it has in some instances, but it's really important for the integrity of this whole Zondo exercise, the 5,000 pages of findings and recommendations and the money that has been spent. It's really important for the prosecuting authority to turn this into arrests and prosecutions as soon as possible.
Lastly, Silias, you went to the National Prosecuting Authority, approached the NDPP Shamila Batoy on the 13th of March 2019. You got no response. What makes this time any different?
I think the difference between now and then is we now have the full Zondo report. Back in 2019, there were no findings that had been made. It's only the last 6 months that we have these findings. And, you know, the findings aren't, they're pretty powerful and pretty clear. For the prosecuting authority now just to ignore this matter would be unthinkable. So Zondo happened in the meantime, and I think that's what will make the difference.
Silias Brink, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks very much.